The following audio was recorded at the Pacific School Leadership Institute, which was held October 21 and 22, 2021, at Waits Lake Open Bible Camp near Valley, Washington.
The discussion this morning is intentional ministerial involvement. I'll just begin the quote on the back on the that was given on the program is, what is the church leader's role in the school, and how can they stand formed without meddling, give direction without micromanaging, and influence without intimidating? And I like to say I'm partly here. I can tell you how we do it. I don't think we have all the. Maybe it's not the only right way to do it. I'm curious to hear how some of the rest of you handle that in your handle this in your school. I'm assuming are most of you involved. I know some of you are, but are most of you involved regularly on the school board? I mean, like you sit in all the meetings, and maybe I'll ask a little bit later how you handle that in your church. Couple thoughts just to get our minds rolling. I'm going to probably go back up a little bit further from what was on here. Kind of, and some of this is maybe big picture, similar to what we've been hearing already here. But a phrase on it caught my eye about the time of the last PSLI meeting. It was a slogan on the CLE catalog. It was training tomorrow's kingdom servants. And again, one of Anthony's quotes last night was, we're raising the next generation to serve the Lord. And I think that's our goal, isn't it? As maybe overriding, reaching beyond the beyond just this here as church leaders, we're looking for that our generation is not the last, but we're training a generation that's going to come to grow up and be servants of God and serve God in their generation. Another thought that has stood out with me, I don't have the exact quote, but the keynote speaker at the last PSLI was Gerald Miller, and he talked about we often refer to the school as the arm of the church. And there's a way that that's very true. It's part of the ministry of the church is training our children. But he said, in his mind, it's more than that. He said, we can live without an arm. People do. But we can't live without the next generation coming on in our church. And that has impressed me. And I'd like to think about that as we think about, and also along with our, with us as leaders and as parents, that was said last night that Christian education is a lot more than just what is taught in our schools. And I think we have the role of us as parents, we have the role of us as ministry, and we have under that, the part of that is the school as well. And so I believe what I'm leading up to is we as a ministry have a very strong interest in the work of our of the work of our schools and the success of our schools, as we look at all that in the picture of our us as teaching and training the next generation. Part of being, and I believe we are all concerned about the work of our church moving ahead, and part of that is we must be concerned about our schools and the way our schools are run. And I was hoping too. I think a couple of you have taught school. One, two, three. You taught Laverne. Okay, I thought several of you have. I welcome your perspective on that from the teacher. Actually, the more I look, the more of you I realize have taught at some point here. But the perspective, if you have perspectives that you would have saw from a school teacher angle, be welcome to bring that in as well. Part of the intentional part of being a part of the school. When I get to a topic like this, I start looking at history as well. And one thing that some of our schools started, and maybe the one that I grew up attending, maybe partly, but I didn't have time when I thought about it. I don't want to cast doubt on the minister because I don't really know, but it was, a lot of these schools were not really started by the church. It wasn't a church, and that's true of Lake Creek. There was students in several districts. The one district got consolidated, and so it was a group of concerned parents in that one district that started that school. And that's kind of generally what you saw a fair amount in the 60s, was not really the church leaders getting behind that, as I read just a little bit, but it was more groups of parents banding together. And hear me out. I'm not being judgmental in the ministry here, but especially not our local ones here, but reading in some of the churches that maybe lost out was the leaders didn't see the importance. They didn't really feel like educating their children was really their role. It was kind of, you know, they've been going to public school. That's good enough. Not really our something we need to be concerned about. And there's the flip side of that. As ministry, we have to sometimes take caution with new ideas that come. But I'd like to just show us make us think of our vision for the education. It shouldn't be, especially as we go on from here, I don't believe it should be. I think our vision needs to be, along with our lay brethren, to make it work. I don't know, I'm kind of doing all the talking right now, but I have some thoughts here, and then we'll talk, we'll have some, hopefully some discussion a little bit later. Think about why we want our children to be educated, first and foremost. And I think when you study history and you think of some of the Bible translations, a very, very much the reason the Bible's translated, the reason for education was to be able to read. And the reason for reading was to be able to understand the scriptures, and that our children would have the ability to read and understand the Word of God in their language. And then I think of maybe I should have brought this in earlier, but thinking of our children in the public schools, the influences that they face there. And as I look at the group here, probably all of you spend all your time in Christian day schools, I would imagine, and so we don't, but patriotism was something they faced, sports, some of the holiday festivities, and of course we know that the Bible is taken out of schools, evolution taught, so the need has become greater for us to make sure our children are in the school being taught things that uphold Bible truth. Maybe a little bit more about the school board and why we have school boards and we don't just run it ourselves as a ministry. I thought of when Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came to visit him out in the wilderness, and what he saw there was people coming to Moses with all their little problems all day long. Moses was kept busy all day long taking care of problems that people had, and so Jethro, I trust you're familiar with that, Jethro suggested that he appoint men over, give them authority over groups of people to free up Moses. And I think that's maybe the principle in church life here, where Maybe sometimes we have to serve on the trustees and so on as well, but of delegating responsibility to other able men. And first of all, Moses, it says, I'd have to find the verse here, but the first step in that, before he just turned them loose, was he taught them the laws of God. And so I think that is our responsibility to make sure, and that's part of our, should be part of our general teaching program, that we have men that are able and capable of carrying on the school, the work of the school, for the most part on their own. And we see, I think, the big problems, they probably Moses was still involved in. There's a lot of things that that men of God should have been able to take care of on their own. Maybe I'll just open it up here. Do you have any comments to add or anything on what I shared so far here? Maybe I went too fast over here, but trying to decide what to give first here, but I am. I'll tell you first kind of the way we have done it. I assume it's still pretty much the same at Pine Grove. We pretty much follow the same structure in our outreach. Our school constitution says the school board shall consist of, three elected members and the church ministry. And another place it says the board shall be subject to the council of the ministers in the selecting and hiring of teachers and in dealing with spiritual questions and problems of the school. And so basically the way that it's works out in life is that one of the ministry is appointed to sit in on all the board meetings. Is that still you here? And when we were still here, Brother Tim and I were both set out on the board meetings, but I sit in there, and we have a vote. When there's a vote, we have a vote, and kind of there for continuity. We're longer serving than the school board, and so there's things that they may not remember from the past that we bring up sometimes. One little thing that I did, and maybe this is an overreach, I don't know, but I wasn't on the board too many years, and when it come field trip time, you get different board members and you start discussing the same places to go that don't work. You know what I mean? And so a new board member comes on and says, why don't we go here? Well, we hash it out. Anyway, so I keep a list. And so I can go back and say, well, that didn't work 3 years ago. That's, to me, that's part of, and sometimes things change and it can work, but that's a little bit of what I'm speaking about of the continuity of that. It is what I find. I feel like it's good for the ministry too. We see problems as they develop. If there's a problem, we see it from the beginning. It is another evening away from our family. But I am interested. I have children in school. I am interested. I'm concerned in the work of the school. And I don't know, maybe I just answered too many. I was going to ask, I have some questions here. What are some reasons that we should be involved in our school? And maybe I answered too many of them, but open it up here. What do you see as reasons that we should be involved as ministry in our school?
What's specifically is the purpose of having one of the ministries?
Okay.
Specific different programs. You got chairman, you got secretary, you got the mm-hmm. school board, and the school board often, I mean, in my case anyway, they're capable with more experience with school than I am. I'm glad to be there. But specifically, what is the point of the ministry? Would be the ministry being there, maybe a first starter?
Sure. Okay. Anyone want to answer that? What's in your mind, what's the specific ministry for a specific need or reason for the ministry to be there at the meetings?
I think it keeps us from getting tone deaf on school issues. Really, it's a way that we can be involved with families, and it's kind of like we're off doing our own thing. It's easy to get so focused on what our calling is.
Okay. Anyone else have a thought on that?
I think Earl brought up a good point in that the boards are capable.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we want to lose that perspective.
Right.
But you had mentioned to me one of the bigger things is things that come down that end up coming to the ministry for... The ministry often ends up being the last
mm-hmm.
stop.
Yeah.
And so to catch those before they're a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that would be one of the bigger things in my mind.
Well, what I have found, and well, I guess I don't have experience being on the ministry and not being on the school board. I was very soon after I was ordained. But it seems to me that our ministry is better equipped if we have heard all along rather than when the school board's in the middle of an emotional thing. And I agree with you, Travis, that they are capable men. And
I agree with what's been said, too. I think of what the minister's responsibility is, more or less the spiritual mm-hmm. oversight mm-hmm. keeping our schools connected with the church.
Mm-hmm.
There is a kind of a, well, yeah, the church is very much, the school is very much a part of the church, and there is kind of an overlap, as I said, in the spiritual side of things, and it very definitely, I don't know quite how to say what I'm thinking particularly, very definitely we have capable men. Simply knowing what is going on the school level is very helpful, and I think the continuity part in all of that. Those are just some things that mm-hmm. I think about ministerial involvement. The school is a part of the church.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I've heard from our teachers before, well, at our, the way we do it there, we don't really have anybody appointed, just the ministry is considered an advisory board mm-hmm. or something like that. And so as many of us that can make it show up at the meeting.
So some of you are there at each meeting, probably?
Yeah, sometimes all four of us.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so there's like, eight people there or whatever. Which we've had some really good discussions with that broader base, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think technically our ministry is given one vote. So technically, all four of us being there can help us with the school boards, but it hasn't really. I mean, everything is pretty much consensus. Usually, that can end quickly, but so far it's worked out.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is then I've heard from our teachers, given this, there's always this kind of, sort of tension amongst various. And maybe it's lessening, but various factions of our people that place lesser or more importance on the school. And, you know, there's people that, you know, the 3 R's and a volunteer single lady is about all we need to, you know, sweep them through and then get them on the crew or something. And teachers, to push back against that diminishing of the importance of the school, they love to hear it from the ministry over the pulpit or in brethren's meetings, that a value and a priority placed on the work of the school.
Okay.
If I'm there at the meetings and I know what's going on, it's pretty hard to do that if I'm not there. Said a lot of stuff there to say what I started out
to say. I like what you said about publicly maybe affirming. Is that what you're meaning?
Yeah.
I think that's important too, to encourage our teachers.
I think we need to be really careful that we don't get the culture going where it seems like the preachers are there to kind of keep, make sure everything stays the way it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's harmful, I think.
Do we ever need to kind of do a little bit of...
I think we should be pretty careful, let them do their work. Well, we can get the culture of make sure the preachers are here to keep this thing in line. You know, that's not what we're there for. It's not what we want to be perceived as doing.
So, I'm not arguing with them, just bringing something in. How much so we get, and it, again, this varies. I'm trying to think how, we just made some changes in our board. I'm trying to think how, I guess now we vote in our chairmans. It used to be that the longest serving member was automatically the chairman. How much do you let one chairman be way over here and the next year the chairman's way over here? Your curriculum can flop this way and that way if you let it. What's our role in that kind of thing? I would say we've faced a little bit of that. And there's going to be... We are going to be different. We're going to have different backgrounds, different personalities. Some of that's okay, but how much for the good of the school, how much of that do we allow?
Well, I think what Anthony has said kind of comes into perspective here. We all have different classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would term it a positive tension. There should be a positive tension. Ministerial involvement from the spiritual side and guiding them, there should be a tension that is kind of, if you will, resisting some of the other tensions. Now, of course, that has to be in humility and in carefulness, but there should be a positive tension, just as the parents' perspective into the school is also a tension. It's a positive tension. It can be. And the teacher's perspective.
Right.
All of those things need to be in place to really.
You've seen it very quickly, body dynamics reach into the
school. Yeah. Do you have more on that, Johnny? I hope I didn't derail your thought too far there. But
I think that's absolutely right. And I tend to run my mouth in meetings. It's an interesting discussion. But I do try to keep a back seat on some of that and not try to intimidate or make it feel like I'm pushing. There have been times where I've said, you know, this is probably a brotherhood decision. Maybe we should bring this up at a brother's meeting. So I have kind of said some things like that now and then, but I am conscious of what Johnny's saying there, that we do need to kind of step back and let the school board lead out. That's be pretty counterproductive if they start to get steamrolled.
Mm-hmm. And that is kind of what I wanted to lead into a little bit is how much is too much involvement. I didn't verify this. I heard a comment from about another school where a talented minister, an idea man, and he, it's kind of the way it goes, pretty far removed for most of us here, but it's not really closely connected, but that's kind of just a comment I heard. That's how the board feels. And how do we keep the board from, or how do we keep the board from feeling that way? And I've thought about that a fair amount because I've been on there 8 years now, and I'm really not that nervous or intimidated anymore. I just, if I have an opinion, I can pretty freely state it, and I don't. Whereas the first year I was on the board, I was kind of scared, and I don't know. Maybe I need to be a little more scared sometimes. I'm not intimidated to, and I don't want it just to be Ed's school for the next 10 years. And so I don't know, do you have any thoughts on, any more thoughts on that?
When they decide to the leadership that we can't get away from the calling or the position, mm-hmm. and people actually look to that as a certain amount of security.
Mm-hmm.
So probably the question is how can we support without intimidating?
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to put it.
How can we bring security without intimidating?
Mm-hmm.
And there again, as already mentioned, Anthony's talk there, you know. But, and you know, sitting in that talk, it was easy for me to see how other people need that talk. but, you know, to realize, you know, to try to understand
mm-hmm.
and to ask questions rather than make statements.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is a time for saying, well, we need to take more time for this or we need to do this mm-hmm. or this. But if we can pose it as a question, generate discussion on it to help involve people and still leave them with a sense of security that we're there to bring stability. And
I haven't found myself thinking of how much to, and you, I don't know, this probably isn't a real safe thing to do, but there was, one of the board felt fairly strong about something. And I knew it was gonna cause some controversy, and so did the other board. Do you have three board members now here too? So earlier we just had two board members plus the ministry, and there was, at that point there were just two of us, and the one felt pretty strong, and I knew it was gonna cause some controversy, and anyway, I finally just let him do his thing, and it did. It kind of stirred, but it actually, that man has learned a lot. he learned a good lesson of working together, and anyway, he's maturing in being a good school board member. I know that's kind of, you don't want to just do that across the board. It maybe is a little dangerous, but in that case, I kind of just let it go, kind of let the chips fall where they would. I don't know. Maybe you have some comments on that being too foolish. I don't know if I should really say the situation, but and I'm not promoting that across the board here. I hope you know that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a hard one. Maybe on just a little different, you know, not just an observation, but it's interesting how 5 days a week, 6 hours a day, speaking of ministry, staying in touch, and I appreciate what you're saying. There's something about the real us going on display at school.
Mm-hmm.
Their children operate, they say, they do the friction, relational issues. And then
then you got parents that are, you know, maybe it's one parent that's more disciplinary, and then another set of parents is just pretty, you know, concerned about, you know, whatever the school. And you have these things coming out in on display at school, and then you, so you have the needs in homes coming out. But then you also have even the needs of teachers coming in. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen both where one teacher is, you know, just drawing that line. And it was creating some unnecessary. Mm-hmm. But then I've also seen where there's three boys. So I, man, it's just a general observation, but how as it relates to brotherhood, and as it relates to needs, and as it relates to being in tune and not being tone-deaf to what's going on, it's interesting how our needs are revealed in the school.
And isn't that why we ought to be involved? Is some of these issues, especially with older students, they soon become church issues, not school issues.
We're all in our bishop, and I think if somebody here said something about being careful, or about, but one way Roland likes to say that is choosing your battles carefully. Mm-hmm. Pick your battles carefully. There's lots of battles to get involved with. Mm-hmm. But choosing those, pick those carefully.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. One thing I'm thankful for with our larger board now is I feel for the most part, this is my feeling, and I guess you can correct me, but the major legwork, things that doing things, I feel like I have enough to do without, and that we have capable board members. And we had at least one situation, a small board, and it was a problem with the one of the board members' children, and I, in some ways, I appreciated what he just backed out of it. Said the rest of you take care of it. I'm willing, especially for support. But I was one of the ones that needed to go and deal with that, and that's okay. It was the way our school's set up. But I, especially when it comes time to, you know, look for places for field trips and order books, there's plenty of other qualified men that can do that. I don't think that I got enough to do. Maybe that sounds selfish, but I feel like I have enough. I think we're gonna getting close into time here. I'd like to just maybe switch gears a little bit here. Think about the future of our schools and a vision for the maybe it's part of being intentional with moving ahead. So my background, as you all know, Lake Creek School. That first, if I remember right, the first year was 1950, fall 1950, I think. So my mother-in-law, I think she's in her mid-70s, but she was a first grader the fall of 1950. And there's none of that family is there, but my oldest child is 19. And so it's the third generation that's running the school. It would have been my wife's grandpa was one of the, and I, my grandpa, Travis's grandpa, was a supporter. I think a supporter, but didn't have children in school yet. Does that sound right to you? So those men are, they're dead and gone off the scene. Now we have Travis, the grandson, there. What do we need to be looking at for the ongoing work of the school? They say the first generation fights for it. What does the second generation do? They coast, my word, and then the third generation can lose it. And I'm not accusing anybody of anything here, but what are we going to do with that? I'm not inferring at all that you're losing it. I'm not saying that at all. But are we in danger of losing? losing that vision for our education. I don't hear it, or very little, but what do you, is that something we, something that you're hearing that we ought to be concerned about? I mean, I think all of us probably see the public school system as so broke, we're not about to send our children back to that. I would imagine that. But what, is there something we're in danger of losing here?
Doesn't that manifest itself mostly in neglect rather than what we might hear?
Okay.
You know, I think it's just so easy for us. We've had it. It's there every year. We tend to, because like you said, we have enough other stuff to do, we tend to get our children ready, drop them off at school, pick them up.
Right, okay. We don't understand what they had to fight for back then. Fighting's the right word, but...
And also just, you know, and probably all of us have a certain amount of this maybe in our churches, but, you know, it can also be, I think one threat is if the parents are kind of, they don't really see the value of education. They send their children, but you know, you almost hear a little grumbling behind the scenes, and the children pick up on that.
Okay.
But I would see that third generation thing more just being a neglect because it's just there for us.
Okay. Appreciate that. Anything else?
Maybe kind of along with that. So, I mean, just thinking through, but our school, their orders, I don't know how old your school is there. Our school there at Lake Creek, it's old enough, it's pretty easy to, we have a handbook, we have everything is boxed very neatly. And it goes along with that thing of neglect. At Hamilton, you had to think through, to a degree, how the school's going to operate. Mm-hmm. So in the last 7 years, you've kind of revisited Talbot the same way.
Yeah.
I've never rethought saying starting from zero and we need to think about this through. Mm-hmm. And so it's that neglect factor of we have it boxed so nicely that we don't need to worry about it.
Okay.
And so I think that's very, very real. Mm-hmm. Longer schools in operation.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that?
One thought I had is get people involved at a young age.
At a young age?
Yeah.
Okay.
Business, one owner. Well, the businessman has a family and he does not involve his son in business at a young age. He grew up spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
And they lose them. Same way in school.
You say if they don't involve.
Yeah, if the businessman did not involve his son in his business, that when he's a teenager, he's probably not going to get interest when he's 30. And he's going to expect his dad to handle him.
Okay, that's a good point.
So maybe, here's another question that maybe will come out of this discussion that Valen's going to have later. But I love the books that are coming out of CLE. Where's the cap? How do you cultivate good, healthy? I love how my children like school. They like school. They like their teachers. My experience is not like that. School experience was not like that. But as we nurture this thing and cultivate this thing and invest in this thing, how do you not go up top with education to where
Yeah, we're almost out of time here, but I'm very concerned. That was one of the things I wanted to bring up, and I almost sense a little bit in some Anabaptist circles, a little bit of that, a little bit of maybe the push for education as a means. I mean, it almost feels like the world's drive for education, pride, and I even know of a community close to one of these places that for a contractor, he absolutely will not hire those young men from that church because they won't work. They want to stand around and philosophize all day long. And do we want to get that? Is there something wrong with that picture? That, and I'm not saying everybody has to work manually with their hands, but I think it's something we need to think about as maintaining and keeping the vision on. Anything else on that? Maybe I'm not clear enough on that, but
I don't think we're in danger of losing our private schools to public schools, but we are in danger of our private schools having a little different vision than our church has.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think we need, as preachers, we should be preaching about the school. And I thought about that with, you mentioned Darrell Miller. Mm-hmm. He challenged preachers to have a Sunday morning sermon about school. And I had never done that. Anyway, finally, recently, I decided to do it. I think it did more for me than for anybody, just to help me realize how important the school is to our church and how important it is that our teachers have the same vision here, mm-hmm. and that we're heading in the same direction.
Yeah.
I would pass that challenge on to you to have a Sunday morning sermon about school. It might be more for you than anyone else.
Yeah, appreciate that. Maybe it's time I do it again. I had P.L. Salai last time inspired me in that direction a little bit. I think our time's up. Anyone else have any comments before we close here?
I was thinking the same thing with Burl. I like how you said it. The danger might be going out the top end rather than losing momentum and going off the
mm-hmm.
top end. I think that's probably true. And then the follow-up to that is, or how do we... I don't think we want to create, you know, a bunch of people who just stand around and philosophize. But we do want to inspire a love of learning.
And of thinking.
And a lifelong interest in new things and ideas. And so somehow, how do we communicate that? Man, it's not just putting on the brakes or putting on the gas.
Yeah.
You know, it's how do we come up with a truly kingdom-focused product that the teachers and the preachers can get together on
right.
and articulate, and mm-hmm. that thing is their challenge.
Yeah, appreciate that. And I think about the time we get it figured out in one area, then the devil will attack us from another way. I think of that in some different things that not on the subject right now. So anyway, thanks a lot for your help, and God bless you and your work in your schools at home.